In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. There have been a lot of times during the last 30-some-odd years since I became Orthodox when I've received, seemingly out of nowhere, words from people, sometimes people that I knew very well, sometimes people that I hardly knew at all, that gave me encouragement or strengthened me when I seemed to be flailing about for some reason. I may have had a problem in my life. I may have had a problem at work or something like this. And it was completely unexpected when someone from the church would say something to me without knowing anything about what the situation was, but just because somehow through either their own sensing of things or through the activity of the Holy Spirit, that they knew intuitively that they should say something to me, to encourage me or to ask how I was or something along those lines. And that has happened many, many times over the years. And as I say, sometimes it was expected from a source that I knew very well, sometimes just out of nowhere, someone would say something to me. And that got me thinking about how all of us are so interconnected in our spiritual lives that often we are turning off the activity of the Holy Spirit because we're not listening to one another and what He may or may not be saying to us through each other. Because if we look back at the activity of the Holy Spirit in the early church, we see that it was an incredible power, an incredible and marvelous wonder that was going on, that was activating all of the Christians, that was keeping them alive, that was making them fearless proclaimers of the gospel. They were absolutely not afraid of anything because they knew that the Lord was with them. And the Holy Spirit would speak to them and help them in different ways. We have so many accounts, if you just look at the Acts of the Apostles, of Peter and Paul and the things that the Holy Spirit did to them when it sprang them from prison or when it helped heal somebody even through the shadow of one of them. And there are many other examples like this because they were so completely open to the Spirit. They knew of the activity of the Spirit and were tuned into it, so to speak, because that's the thing about our free will. We have the ability to completely tune God out anytime we want. He lets us do that. We can turn off the channel, if you will, and not pay any attention. But if we are paying attention, then sometimes we find out that great things are happening among those that we don't necessarily expect it from, that words may come to us, that advice may come to us, that miracles that we don't realize are miracles may be happening to us right in front of us. And yet we're not tuned in enough to realize that it's God that is working through the people that may interact with us. But yet that same Holy Spirit is right here with us today in each and every one of us. And who knows what He may be saying to each of us today. But the thing is, He never stops talking. He's always prompting. He's always encouraging. He's always drawing us nearer to Christ. And so if we listen carefully, if we let His power guide us in all of our lives, then wonderful things can happen. Astounding things can happen. Miracles can happen. Even if that miracle is getting you through a very difficult and, you know, terrible time with something, the Holy Spirit is still active, is still there, is still working these things through all of us. And part of what our preparedness needs to be when we receive the Holy Spirit, as happened today for at least two new members of this church, is that we must put God first in all things in our lives. We must feel that there is nothing else that we want more than God in our lives, that we fight within ourselves in order to put Him in first place, to let Him do all things through us. We have to want Him more than anything else in the world, absolutely anything else. There's really no getting around this. And that sometimes that means that we have to encourage love from those that love us, that we have to pray for those that hate us, which happens. In fact, we hear that in two of the divine liturgies. We, St. Basil the Great and St. James, both ask that for prayers for those that love us and for those that hate us. Both of these things. And even more importantly, which is a very sad thing when you think about it, for those, as the liturgy says, that have no one to pray for them. No one to pray for them. If you ever think that somehow you are here in the liturgy and your prayer seems cold and dull and you just don't feel open to God and you're not sure if your prayers are getting heard or if you're even praying in the proper manner, you can't ever dismiss the fact that as a corporate unity in Christ, that the prayer that goes up from here, not necessarily as a single person, but as all of us together, is very, very powerful. Because in the litanies and in the prayers that we have during the liturgy, we pray for all manner of people, everywhere, all sorts of situations, everywhere. And it's awfully tempting sometimes to think that these prayers are just too generalized, that, well, you know, for the peace of the whole world, for the welfare of the holy churches of God, and for the union of all men. And that sounds like a wonderful platitude. But we must get beyond the idea of the platitude and understand the reality that it's really affecting. What about for all those people that have no one to pray for them? What is happening here? They do have someone to pray for them. We are doing that. We are standing up and praying for all these people that may be in situations we can't even imagine, who might seem even beyond prayer, beyond help, completely alone in whatever situation that the Lord has allowed them to be in. And yet, our prayers are there for them. No prayer ever goes wasted. From the most resilient choral, Lord have mercy, to the quietest, Lord have mercy, done in a sigh. None of these prayers goes wasted. They are all right there. In today's gospel, we have the blind man, who's known as Bartimaeus to us, who was one of these people that was learning to put the things of the Lord first. Because when he asked what the commotion was, and they said it was Jesus of Nazareth, all of a sudden, he wasn't going to be stopped. He started screaming, Lord, come to me. Lord, have mercy on me. You know, come over here. I need to see you. And so much so, if you can imagine, because it said there was a throng of people, so much so that the disciples were trying to shut him up. I mean, and if someone started yelling here in the church, I'd probably try and shut them up too. So I'd be as guilty as the apostles. But Bartimaeus would not be silenced because he knew through the Holy Spirit, that this was something he had to have, that he had to have the Lord come near him, that he had to speak with him. And then finally, when Jesus does come up to him and he says, and this is almost unique in the Gospels from what I can think of off the top of my hand, he says, well, what would you have me do for you? What would you have me do for you? And Bartimaeus says, Lord, I would receive my sight. And the Lord says, so be it. Your faith has saved you. And he got the sight back. And the crowd rejoiced, so that at least in this instance, so different from so many other instances in the gospel where a miracle happens and they try to stone the Lord or they criticize him and start spewing all this stuff against him. Now the crowd rejoiced. They were all thrilled at what had happened, even though perhaps none of them had received any kind of miracles. They had learned that part of being a follower of Christ is not only rejoicing in the things that happen to you, but in the things that are happening to other people as well. Because too often we are jealous of that fact. Even within the church, somebody had so-and-so, and it was a miracle, and look what happened. It was so wonderful. And we think, yes, that's wonderful. Why didn't it happen to me? Why didn't I get that? Why did one person get to see that miracle-working icon and I wasn't able to get there? We have to rejoice in the good fortune of others, as these people did when Bartimaeus received his sight. And what was more important, it wasn't just physical sight that he received. No, not at all. He received deep spiritual insight, so that if he had never seen anything with his physical eyes again, it still would have been a miracle because his soul was illumined. We hear, as in the story, of course, of the Apostle Thomas after the Lord was resurrected, who wanted to thrust his hand into the side of the Lord. We hear that seeing is believing. Well, in the case of blind Bartimaeus today, it was completely opposite. Believing was in fact seeing, because of what the Lord gave him was greater than any gift he could have. Once he received spiritual illumination, the eyes were almost secondary, because Bartimaeus paid attention to the Holy Spirit. He wanted Jesus Christ more than anything else. And by that, he teaches us what we should want also. That we should want this illumination. We should want this wonderful gift that the Holy Spirit brings to all of us if we would only but listen. So often our lives just seem to slow down. We seem to be sludging through somehow. And it's because we're not paying attention. We're not listening to what the Lord is saying to us. If we would be quiet for a moment and say, Lord, speak to me, He will do it. He's doing it now to everyone here. To everyone here. And I wonder how many, before the day is out, will be able to have heard something that would help them, even in the smallest way, in their spiritual journey as we move along towards the kingdom of heaven with our Lord hand in hand. Think about these things. Spiritual experiences are not necessarily, in fact, most often are not, getting hit over the head with a 2x4. It's not falling off your horse on the Damascus Road. It's not being stricken blind. It's not these sorts of things. It's the still small voice that is whispering to us, that is saying, listen to what I am saying to you. And if we desire the Lord with all of our hearts, as the blind man did today, I guarantee you that you will be able to hear the same things that he was hearing, the same promptings that enable you to want to follow Christ with all your heart and mind and soul and spirit. Amen.